What's up, people? JJ and K-Fitz coming up real soon. Gonna have thoughts on the last game, thoughts on the upcoming game, and a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a beverage and a snack or some lunch or dinner, and enjoy the show. Hey, there he is.
Hey, what do you say? What do you know?
Nope, not going to go off on that tangent already. Yeah. You knew, didn't you?
You knew? Knew what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. The tangent that I was going on yesterday. I couldn't watch the game, and I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it either. I had to listen to it, actually.
Did you finally get that to work for you?
I did. I got it to work. It would cut in every once in a while, but for the most part, I was following it on the ESPN app, which I showed you, and then I was listening to it as well.
I think it was midway into the second period when I finally showed you, hey, look, radio?
Yeah.
I got a little bit into that. Like, I messaged you. I was like, you know what? I got to go to sleep.
Yeah, Bally's needs to get their app figured out.
Dude, yes, please. Like, you kind of funnel people over into apps because streaming's the new craze. I get it. Yeah. But why can't you make it work?
Because they're ill-prepared and their servers were probably down. I deal with this on a daily basis in my job, especially with folks that like to play online games and stuff like that. They don't realize that it's not their ISP or internet service provider. Sometimes it's the servers they're trying to work with, and they're just overrun, and it probably crashed, and they couldn't get it figured out. I hadn't checked it this morning to see if it was working today or not, but it sure wasn't working last night.
I'd be embarrassed if I was them with all the bankruptcy talk and all that we heard recently. And then, oh, hey, look at the app. Subscribe here. Let's give us money. You know? It just, I don't know. I couldn't.
Well, anyway, there you go. Yeah. In the spirit of Halloween, the Stars did give us a nice treat last night. We did win 5-3, and we are now standing at, I believe we're at 5-1-1 for our record for the month, or for the season so far. So, things aren't looking too bad.
5-1-1. Dude, that's kind of similar to last year.
It is.
Holy cow. Okay, so DeBoer is living up to the hype, in my opinion. If you go off of that, because, you know, it was division championship and then, I'm sorry, what was it? Conference championship, right? Western Conference Finals. And then
right. There
was a missed playoff the last season, or last time I looked. And then Stanley Cup Finals or some mess like that the season after that. I don't know. Bottom line is he's living up to his hype.
Let's just not do the missed playoffs thing.
Yeah, please. Yeah, okay. So DeBoer is not going to be any of our problems. At least I don't think, if we ever should go into them. And, oh, speaking of which, the other night when everybody was kind of doom and gloom because they lost.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of happy about it, believe it or not. because how are you going to know how this team responds to a loss unless, you know, you give them another game, like, right off the bat?
This is true.
So
I don't know that I was upset that they lost. I understand. It was just the more of the fashion of how they lost.
Right. And I'm thinking that Killer Instinct thing is going to be another bugaboo on their side.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but I'm not liking it. Because, well, when you look at the game last night, 5-3, like, they had their foot on the pedal to the metal, yeah. I guess is the right saying. And they won.
Well, and we got down at one point. We were down 2-1.
Yeah. It's like it fired them up, and they're like, okay, bet. Let's go.
You know, and then, you know, we gave up a goal on 4-4. I think I said we were on power play because I was trying to keep track of it through the ESPN app, which was extremely slow. But, yeah, we gave up that goal when we were on 4-4 and put us down 2-1. And then, you know, honestly, truly, really, once Hintz got us tied up at 2-2, you know, kind of was downhill from there. I mean, not only did he score, but hey, guess what? Matt Duchene got his first goal as a Star.
Awesome.
Which was great. From what I heard from the announcers, I guess, they were really, the fans in attendance last night were really, really, really cheering it up when Duchene got his goal.
I mean, he deserves it. He's embracing Texas, you know, to the fullest, it seems.
Yes, he is.
You look at his Instagram feed, I think it was, and they were at the baseball game the other night.
Yeah, they were at the Rangers game. The Rangers won last night as well.
Big props to them. I wonder, could this be the year that you see 3 out of the 4 Dallas teams do something big?
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I mean, the
Rangers are definitely in position right now. The Stars are at the very beginning of their season. And, you know, the NFL, your Cowboys are, we're almost mid-season, so.
Yeah. Cowboys, I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, they won this weekend in pretty good fashion, so I got to give my props there.
Yeah, but if you take it to the right person, they'll be like, oh, it was only the Rams. Look, you know, you could say the same thing about the Stars.
Any given team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when I looked at Columbus and their history and how Dallas is kind of, for whatever reason, had their number, it doesn't matter. Like, look at the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, we had their number last season. Or so it seemed.
And they seem to be having everybody's number this season.
Right. See what I'm saying? Like, you can't sit there and diminish a team's skill and ability based on a stat.
No.
It's a number. Like, I mean, because... Go ahead.
I just pulling out of the NFL, I think if you wanted to pull stats, I think this was the first time this season, New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles ever.
God bless them.
I mean, think of that. Think of how old the league is and how old those two teams are. Yeah. That was the very first time that they beat them. Wow.
That's wild. So basically what you're saying is there's a first time for everything, for one.
Right.
And then two, it seems as if stats and records don't really matter all the time.
No, no, not at all. I mean, look at in college football right now. Look how far Alabama has fallen in just two seasons ago. Nobody could beat them.
The season ago, they were whooping up on TCU.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to talk about a fraud of a team, TCU is one.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a lot of flack for that. But yes. But look, no, okay. I don't think the Stars are a fraud this year. I think they're gonna have similar luck to what they did last year. And you're heating up early. You got Matt Duchene finally on the board. From what I've seen from Duchene, one goal could lead to like 30, 40, who knows? So, you got to watch out for that. Roope Hintz is doing his thing still.
Yeah, scored his third goal of the season.
And you said Wyatt Johnston scored last night, too?
Yes, he did. He got an open netter.
Ah, what a way to win.
Yeah, he sealed it for us, actually.
Man, and they're going to diminish that kid for it, too.
I believe Dadonov had a shot at an open netter and for whatever reason juggled it and missed. It happened.
Least he didn't pull a Patrick Steffen. Oh, I still haven't sent you that, have I?
No, but but that being said, Dadonov also scored his second goal of the season last night. I mean, we've got some goal scorers, and let's not turn down the fact that Harley, a defenseman, has scored his second goal. He's been heating up here lately.
I genuinely wouldn't think, aside from Zubov and Klingberg and the Dallas Stars defenseman history, that it would be possible to have somebody in that position constantly involved. I bet you, if Harley heated up, he could be on that stat sheet almost every day. Because he is good with the pill. He's good at defending. The kid has a lot of, is the right word, upside?
Yes,
I mean,
he
he's promising. And, again, for the second or third show in a row, I want to take back what I said about the Stars needing defense. They could be okay.
Yeah, and you got to think, Harley scored on the Robertson Hintz line. He was on that Robertson Hintz line out there with them, so you know that Robertson and Hintz were pulling a lot of the pulling a lot of the attention because both Robertson and Hintz were given assists on that first on Harley's goal last night. So, with more attention that's being focused on Robertson and Hintz, it opens it up, and you want to have a defenseman that can take advantage of those openings. And Harley seems to be Mr. Johnny on the spot here lately.
Did was Miro on that D pair with him, or do you know?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I think he was. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Miro Heiskanen was out there with Harley.
Haskin and Harley, hence Pavelski Robertson.
Yeah, that's a hell of a line.
That is the most ragtag, are they really gonna score line I've ever heard.
All of them are scary. Miro has scored this season. In fact, I believe all of them have scored this season.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or
In
form.
some way, shape, or form.
For once,
The good thing is as they open those lines up and start, showing teams, hey, you're not going to be able to focus on Robertson as much as you think you are. It's going to eventually open it up for Robertson to go maybe two or three game stretch where he's getting a goal or two per game.
Yeah, you're right. It could be sooner rather than later. We don't know.
Could be.
If you look at the upcoming stretch of games, man, it looks a little bit iffy. Like, could he start heating up now, maybe? Could all of them start heating up now?
Well,
Because
we've got a stretch where we're on the road, and there may be some teams that worry about that, but honestly and truly, the Stars, based on their past, they've done really well on the road.
Oh, the Canadian road trip already.
Yeah.
You got Calgary and Edmonton back to back.
Back to
Holy
back.
moly. On November 1st and 2nd. Wow. You guys are going to be exhausted after those. And then you've got a day off. And on the 4th of Vancouver? Oof.
Yep.
Edmonton scares me.
And then we finally get to come home on the 6th against Big Bad Boston. That's going to be Big a game there.
Big Bad Boston. Ooh, scary. I'm not scared of Boston at all.
No, I'll be honest with you. The team I'm still scared of is Vegas. I Vegas is just they're not only winning, but they're dominating. Even though they lost the other night, they're still winning and dominating.
They're 9-0-1. Vegas.
Yeah. And Boston's 8-0-1. Right now.
Any given Sunday. Any given game day. That's nothing.
No. And, you know, proof is in the pudding. You know, anybody that wants to sit there and say, oh, well, statistically, this. Statistically, Boston should have been in the finals and should have won the cup last season.
Right.
They were ousted in the first round.
Right. Everything that could possibly lead you to believe that Boston was the team would lead you to believe Boston was the team. They were what? First in the league for
almost every statistical thing you could think of. They were first in the league.
Weren't they the best team overall? Besides Vegas? Those two were like
Vegas and Boston, and Boston edged Vegas slightly by record. Well, not I don't think slightly. I think they edged them pretty good on record. Boston just was killing it last season.
I mean, yeah, okay. So you might be able to... no, not going to say that. I was going to say you might be able to beat Boston by, you know, staying on the outside of everybody and squeezing them back in towards their own goalie, but maybe not.
Well, the good thing is when we do come into that Boston game, we're going to be well seasoned going through that Canadian road trip.
Let's see, you got Calgary that's 2-6-1. I'm not buying that at all. You got Edmonton.
2-5-1. Oh, I don't. Yeah. You can't look at these records and blink, bat your eye at these teams that will be playing again.
I mean, if you look at statistics and you're that kind of guy, I'd be scared of Vancouver because Vancouver likes to beat us up, too.
Yeah, and they're 5-2-1 right now.
And, you know, that's why they're getting paid the big bucks to play the game because they're not overlooking anybody. Well, I hope, anyway. But, you know, my only fear throughout the next stretch, even Boston, is that they will play anything but their own brand of hockey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they love to play down to the opponents. And they have, gosh, for as long as I can remember, they've had a history of playing down to their opponents or up. Like, they can beat the best in the league and then turn around and lose to the worst.
Yeah, they proved that last season time and time again.
And there for a while, you know, we questioned on the show if they lost to the worst, doesn't that make Dallas the worst?
Yeah.
So they've got to kill that, like, right now. And I don't know if they can do it, honestly. Because if you look at we'll go Calgary, I guess, because that's our next threat. Look at their roster. Like, that is a dangerous team.
Yeah, you've got Buckland. Kadari. I'm trying to pronounce some of these names.
Here, I'll help you. Let me get the roster pulled up. Let's go. Backlund. Uh-oh. Coleman. Coleman's a Texan. he is the guy that I'm afraid of because of the playoff series a couple of years ago, I guess. Yeah. It is now.
Lindholm.
Lindholm. Oh my gosh. Elias Lindholm. How could I forget him? There. Noah Hanson. Oh boy. Oliver Shillington, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Jordan Osterley, I've never heard of him. Tanev, his brother is a hoot.
And then you got, I'm going to tear this one up. Andrew
Mangiapane.
There you go.
Look, Mangiapane, Kadri, Huberto, Dylan Dubé, Blake Coleman, Backlund. Those are people you need to cover. And, you know, Hannafin as well. Shillington did a little bit of damage. And then you got Markstrom in the pipes or Vladar.
Yeah. Both are formidable goalies.
The whole team is like, it doesn't mess around. And, you know, again, that's why I have trouble looking at that 2-6 and whatever it was, 2-6-1. And going, yeah, no, that's an easy win. It's not. I had a big problem with Columbus. I was like, uh-oh. And then I had a big problem with, who was it that you had to talk me out of? Was it, I think it was Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, I told you, I was like, yeah, no, it's gonna hit the fan. And it didn't. Not for Dallas. So, like, this, I don't know. If you were to ask me, or if I was to ask you to pick, let's say, a record for the Canadian swing right there, I bet you couldn't give them a prediction.
I tell you, the stat that jumps out at me when I look at us against Calgary is we are 30th in power play and they're 4th in power play kill.
They're 4th in the penalty kill?
Yeah, we're 2nd.
Ooh, okay. Wait, we're 2nd in penalty kill or power
play? In penalty kill. We're 30th in power play.
30th in power play, okay.
They're 20th in power play. We're 2nd in penalty kill. They're 4th in penalty kill. That doesn't bode very well for our power play. We really need to work on our power play. Our power play has been atrocious this season. I mean, it really has.
That's kind of why I started to go off on a tangent about missing Columbus, because I wanted to see that. Like, they have a very bad tendency to play the power play like it's a penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad tendency to do that. And I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's just an oops here and there. I mean, it could be. Nobody's perfect.
If you ask me, just from the games that I've been able to watch, it seems like when we get on power play, we get overexcited and don't take the time to settle things down, set up plays, create opportunities. It's like you want to hurry up, rush to get into their zone, and you're not trying to even set anything up. Not to mention that, but once again, puck control. We're rushing to get into their zone, and then we're turning it over. Well, you know, you can only do that so many times when you're on a 2-minute power play. You know, it takes away from your opportunities. I would much rather see them get into the zone, settle down, pass the puck around, open up an opportunity, and then take a shot. This trying to hurry up and get into their offensive zone and rapid shot it, yeah, that might work every once in a while, but it hasn't been working very well this season at all, especially considering that we are 30th in power play right now. That's horrible. We're a much better team than that, and that's what's frustrating.
It's kind of crazy because, like, it feels like the video game in the sense that, you know, they just keep doing the same thing, you know? And maybe I'm wrong, but from the outsider's point of view, watching it on TV, you know the dump and chase is coming sometimes. And, you know you could have done it the other way where you carry it into the ice and then then you set up. You know, you're going to have to do that against the likes of Calgary and even Vancouver. Heck, Edmonton, they got Draisaitl. They got McDavid. Look at that roster. Like, if you were going to tell me there's any stretch of must win, even though we're this short into the season, that this right now is your must win games. Because Edmonton is, I don't want to say a perennial playoff team, but, you know, here lately, you kind of could guess where they were going to be. And McDavid, Draisaitl, I'm drawing a blank on everybody else, Darnell Nurse, the team is loaded. So yeah. Is Calgary. Vancouver, they traded one of their top people, if I remember correctly, can't remember who it is, to the Islanders. And, you know, let me ask you this. Who the heck are they now? Like, Vancouver took everything I knew about them and turned it upside down. So, yeah, I'm a little afraid of them.
Yeah. And especially, you know, one thing that I get tired of is it seems like, okay, last season we were the team that were the come-from-behind team. We were always able to come from behind, and we would wind up getting behind. Heck, I believe we even came back from a 4-1 or 5-1 deficit and got to the overtime. I don't remember if we won that game or lost that game, but I do know, I believe we got a point because it wound up coming to a shootout. Anyway, regardless, I get a little tired of the Stars being that team where it's like, okay, well, they're able to overcome that adversity. Well, why do we put ourselves in these positions of adversity? You know, look at what we did against the Flyers the other night. Let Philadelphia get three shorthanded goals. And we were the first team to ever win after giving up three shorthanded goals. Well, I don't want to be that first team.
No, there's things that you don't want to make the history of books for.
No, and that is one of them that I don't want to be. I don't sit there and pat the Stars on the back. Great job. You guys gave up three shorthanded goals. Why are you giving up shorthanded goals is my question.
Because they got a little lax on the puck. That's why.
Because they're trying, when they get into that the opponent's offensive zone, they're trying to be cutesy with the puck, and instead of slowing down and setting plays up. I mean, you know, the bad part about it was I watched an interview with Coach DeBoer, and somebody had asked him about it right after that game, and, you know, they asked him, you know, what are you going to do to fix it? And he goes, honest and truly, I don't know that there's much we as a coaching staff can do to fix it. He said that's seems like it's on a personal basis that they're going to have to search inside themselves and figure it out. And I agree with Coach, because unfortunately you can coach all you want, but the coaches aren't out there on the ice. The players are. That's where, as a player, you've got to understand, when you're in the power play, you're in a position of power. That's what it's designed to do. The other team has committed a penalty. It gives you an opportunity to have an advantage. You need to take advantage of that advantage instead of giving it away to the opposing team and setting up shorthanded, you know, 3-on-1, 2-on-1 predicaments, and not only putting, you know, one of your defensemen in a bad position, but also putting your goalie in a bad position.
Man. You know, I remember a time with Klingberg, and even before that, where, you know, they would take the puck, go behind their own net to regroup, get everybody back in position, and then attack. I kind of miss seeing that now, and everybody hated that then, too.
See, I never hated that, because there are two types of players out there. There's players that play checkers, and there's players that play chess. I'm a chess player. I like to set up strategies. I like to figure strategies. I am not one of these that plays checkers where it's just jump, 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 and, okay, crown me, king me, okay. You know, There's not, there's, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure there's competitive people out there that play competitive checkers. Oh, no, there's strategy. I get it, but it's nowhere near the strategy of chess. Right. And the stars need to start playing chess when we're on the power play. You know, take a minute, slow things down, set up, go behind your net if you need to, set things up. You know, it's a shame when, number one, you win the face-off, but you can't do anything with it because you're in such a hurry to get to the opponent's offensive zone that you lose the puck 2 seconds after you get into the opponent's zone. I mean, and then, you know, they shoot it down the ice, and now you got to skate back down, and then you're back at it. I don't know how many times I've watched power plays back-to-back. That's exactly what happens. We go back, get the puck, come back in. We're in the offensive zone for 2 or 3 seconds. We don't even get a shot off on goal, and the next thing we know, we've lost the puck. There it goes back down the ice. Or we've lost the puck, and oh, there we go, shorthanded situation. I think last night we even got into a bad situation, and Ottinger pulled a miraculous save, a left-handed glove save. Like I said, I was listening to it, and the crowd really got behind Ottinger on it. But we were in a 3-on-1 situation. You've got to stop putting. Yes, you've got to stop putting your goalie in those situations.
And then Dallas is the type of fan base in any sport that when one person messes up, they start calling for everybody's head. So you leave them in that position, Mr. Goaltender there, and he can't make the save. Who are we going to blame? They're not going to blame the rest of the team. They're going to be calling for Jake's head.
Oh, they better not. Ottinger's, he's one of the few things that's kept us in some of these games.
Which drives me crazy because, you know, when one of the shows I did with my buddy Weldon, we were talking about how they play differently with each goalie in net because of the way each of them play themselves.
Right.
Like, you don't need to do that. You need to support your goalie. If you keep him healthy, you keep him out there and safe, you know, you'll keep him healthy is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, you can overdo it and have him feel like he needs to put the whole team on his back and get him hurt. And if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, you lost your best player in Vasilevskiy for, what was it, 2 months?
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, I don't know if he's still injured or not, so I'm sorry about that. But I had heard about it in the offseason. And it's just like, you know, he's one of the best players in the league, and he bails Tampa Bay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He bails them out. Like, that's living proof right there that if you leave your goalie hung out to dry, he's going to get hurt.
For sure.
So, I don't care who's in net. Why aren't you playing the same way with either one of them? Like, protect them. Protect the zone. Own that freaking ice.
Well, I've always said it is not up to the goalie alone to keep that puck out of the net.
God, that'd be like blaming the quarterback of your team for losing by 2 points. Does that sound familiar by chance?
One of the dumbest things that I think in football is if a quarterback throws the ball and it's tipped up by a receiver and then intercepted, that interception doesn't go against that receiver. That interception goes against the quarterback. I don't think that that's right. I think that there should be a separate stat whenever it's tipped up by a receiver like that. Then I think it should, you know, I'm not talking about like if it's tipped up by a defenseman. I mean, that's on the quarterback. That's where the quarterback should, you know, have his eyes open and not be throwing it in a position where a defenseman can bat the ball up to where it is intercepted. That's that I call an interception. But if a wide receiver tips that thing up because they just didn't catch it or short arms it or whatever, then that stat should go against that receiver, not that quarterback.
I think each individual position, I'm going to piggyback off of what you said. I think each individual position needs to take responsibility for that loss, because swinging it back to hockey, because it applies to football too, the slightest little tip here and there needs to go on that person. Like, you're the one that bobbled it. How is it the goalie's fault?
Yep.
You're the one that bobbled it. How is it the quarterback's fault that it landed in the defender's hand?
Now, I watched some of the highlights from last night's game, because, of course, like you were saying earlier, we didn't get to actually watch the game. But I will give the Stars some credit. It does seem like they're being a little bit more creative now. They seem like they were a little more aggressive last night with 33 shots on goal. One of the few times I've actually seen us have more shots on goal than our opponents. The Blue Jackets only had 25 shots on goal. So, kudos to that. But in all honesty, I mean, when I was watching the game last night, it just seemed like we were opening up more opportunities, you know, and it just, you know, the more creative you are, the more it's going to open it up. And I wish these guys would kind of get some of that through their thick skulls sometimes, is, you know, especially when on power plays, take your time and open these windows up and, you know, give yourself an opportunity. And to pick, you know, just like you were saying, you know, these, you know, each position needs to take ownership of that.
Yeah, like, okay, so let's say there's a puck battle against the side boards. It gets eked out by a defenseman. Lo and behold, we'll go 2-on-1 thing here. You're not going to blame the goalie if somebody else slips.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame the goalie if a defender slips and falls. And leaves the goalie to himself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everybody has a position, and they need to be in said position. And if they're not, well, that's your fault. And, you know, that, ooh. If I see Jake get blamed for one thing this year, I'm going to go ape on somebody. Because I do love the kid. I know he can be good. And I know he has stretches where he might be tired and he's not living up to snuff or whatever. But that's because everybody leaves him hung out to dry. And that seems like it goes, I'm not going to say the Mavericks are in this, but, you know, I always see Dallas sports in some way leaving somebody else hung out to dry and then blaming them for it. You can probably count the Rangers, you know, against the Astros. Altuve, I think it was, it did something, hit a grand slam, home run, something. Everybody went nuts. But no, it wasn't the outfielder or whatever. It was the whole team. Why did you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could write a novel on that, but, you know. It's a team sport. A player can help you win. A player can help you lose. But one player is not going to be the problem unless you let him be that problem. I mean, hey. Like, this team, the Stars, for once, are loaded from line one to line four. They can score from any point on the ice.
Yep.
That tells me that they should at least have 40-something shots on goal. And like you said, to circle back around, they should be playing chess, not checkers. I'm a dummy. You know, it's, if you, do they even look at the opponent's games? Like, you have to play to their weaknesses. You have to attack them. Even Mother Nature does that.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a pretty hockey player and then you can be a hard worker. You can be one in the same. It happens. Do it.
This is true. Now, to segue from that to something that I would call a positive, I think Wyatt Johnson is on a mission this season. He's already got 3 goals. He is killing it out there.
He hasn't missed a game yet, has he?
No.
I think Delandre has been scratched a time or two, but not Johnston.
I feel like he's feeling slated, you know, from last season not even being considered for, you know, Rookie of the Year. Not even in the top three. So, I mean, he's got something to prove, and he's been a madman out there. He's been in the penalty box. He's been hitting guys. He's gotten hit. He's scoring. He's on assists. I mean, he's everywhere. I'm seriously impressed with this young man for this being his second season, on the main roster.
You keep talking about it like that, you're going to make me want to get a jersey. Maybe I'll talk you into getting a jersey too.
I'm telling you.
He's been everything everybody thought and more.
Like, and more.
Here's the thing. I just found a Facebook memory that said, well, I guess Wyatt Johnston's done with his tryout and he stayed up. No shock there. That was my exact status. And, I mean, here he is. Hey. He's, is he better than Ty Dellandrea?
I would say yes. I think he's got a little bit more speed than Dellandrea, and I can tell you 100% he's more creative.
What if that's all this team is missing? Like we said a little bit ago, if you put guys that are willing to get creative on a line, like, I don't know, Hans Robertson and Pavelski. They are on a line together. Hey, magic happens, right?
That's true.
So, what if you shake things up a little bit? What if you put Dadonov, Johnston, and... Oh, well, no, I can't say that because I think they're on the line anyway. I was going to add Sam Steele, too. yeah. Look at that. They're loaded to the gills, dude. Why are they having so many troubles?
Well, I guess partially would be, you know, we got a few new cogs in the track, so to say. Or maybe those cogs are just starting to get greased up and get things figured out and where they fit. That would be my only thing. I think maybe it's just a young season. It's, you know, we're not at mid-season form quite yet. A lot of this is still feeling out, I guess, trying to figure out where you sit with the team. And some guys are just trying to make a name for themselves and trying to, you know, avoid them being on the possible chopping block as, you know, trade deadline gets closer and closer. So I don't know. Like I said, I think right now, if they could just slow down and build on their power play and start getting some more power play goals, this team could be damn near unstoppable. Look what we've done so far with the mistakes we've made.
Yesterday was a good example. Oops, make a mistake. Oops, bounce back and win.
No, nothing's more of an example than that Phillies game.
The Flyers.
The Flyers, yeah.
You mean the 3 shorthanded goals, that situation?
Yeah, those are major mistakes. Not minor. Those are major mistakes.
And it all comes down to, okay, whoa. So, yeah, it all comes down to how they see the ice. It really does. And like my thought process is, how do you shake that up? Because, you know, you slow down, maybe you don't see the ice clearly, and that's what forces you to speed up, because you feel like, if I don't go attack this now, I'm not going to have a chance. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe that, see the overtime issue last year, they had the same freaking problem, and that wasn't even special teams. It was, well, if we don't get down there, we're not going to have a chance. Oops, turnover. Oop, that was a game-winning goal by the other team.
Well, I do know that during the Flyers game, Coach DeBoer did switch some of the wings around, and that seemed to have worked for us, especially when we came in against Pittsburgh. I believe they kept the same lineup. However, then we ran into the speed bump of, you know, the Maple Leafs until Toronto, and lost 4-1 to them. But then we come back with a monster win last night. So, you know, we do have some things that are working for us, and it does seem like Coach DeBoer is willing to, you know, change things up, even mid-game, like he did against the Flyers. So, mm-hmm. You know.
I just want to throw this out there. I'm predicting the future in the playoffs this season. Dallas lost 4-1 to another first-round exit. They're not making it out of the first round. I will say that right now.
Who, Dallas?
No, Toronto.
Oh, Toronto, yeah, no.
If they make it out of the second round, or into the second round, they're not making it past the second round. They're all hype. They do good to start off early. Like, they're really good early, and they peter out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you slowed it down against Toronto, you might not have lost 4-1. I mean, you know, you got to control the puck, too.
Yeah.
And that, like you said, that means you slow down, you're more careful, you're more well thought out, chess instead of checkers, which means you're making the right plays, right time, creativity, less stupid penalties for shorthanded opportunities, you know, that game was a blessing in disguise. Even though, well, I guess Philadelphia was too. Because, yeah, we won the other game, but Toronto turned around and handed our butts to us. Why'd that happen? In essence, I think we let them. I don't know if maybe they were overlooked. Obviously, they were outplayed, so that doesn't even apply.
But yeah, we were far outplayed against the Maple Leafs for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know what happened to the team that night. It's like we beat Pittsburgh, and I guess they just thought, "Woo, we are on some sort of high."
It couldn't have been that they were tired. They had a little rest, did they not?
Well, they had a day rest. They played Pittsburgh on the 24th. They were off the 25th. They played the Maple Leafs on the 26th. So, yeah, they had a little rest.
And here they are again in another stretch where, ish, every other day is a game.
Right.
So, you know, maybe y'all need to rest, relax, maybe study a little bit and
decompress some.
What's that?
Decompress some.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. If I'm out there playing, and I wish I was, but I'm looking at every game as a lesson. You know? Okay, we did this against Columbus, and that's how we beat Columbus. Well, who out there plays like Columbus? And I'm not saying it's Edmonton or Calgary or whoever, but you can match that, whatever you did right against Columbus, against one of those teams if they play the same style, and you could maybe come out again victorious. Like, I'm sitting here on the couch, yeah, but to me, it's simple logic. Because they all match up with somebody else in some way, shape, or form. I saw, what was it? Vegas, I think. I saw a commentator say that Vegas and Dallas matched up really evenly. There's your example. Because, well, who did Dallas lose to? The eventual Stanley Cup champs. And we have, oh, see, I'm getting choked up. We have the same style defenseman, if I'm not mistaken, as they do. So we all match up. Sorry for the noise. Ooh, we all match up with somebody to create a good matchup, and we just got to figure out who that is. So instead of playing, well, I guess that means you're playing up or down to somebody, doesn't it?
Right.
Shoot. Just play your style and you're winning. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, we've already shown against one of the better teams in the league, the Knights, that we can keep up with them. I mean, we lost that game in a shootout. While we still got a point for that game, it was, we still were able to, match up against them pretty well. And so we got to look at that as kind of as a positive. I mean, at least we weren't blown out the door, blown out the rink. We weren't shut out, and they didn't just destroy us. And another thing that I look at as a positive is we've only had two, I believe, we've only had two overtime games of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Three. We've had three overtime games, which is a lot better than what we were doing last season, where it seemed like there for a stretch every game was an overtime game.
Oh, shoot.
And at least in one of our overtime games against Philadelphia, even though we were in that position because we caused ourselves to be in that position, still, we at least won during the regulation overtime and got the 2 points and kept them from getting. So there's a positive there.
Hang on, the shootout loss that we had, who
Against
was
the
in
Knights?
net? Who was in net?
I don't know. Give me a second here.
I think it was Jake.
You would think it'd be Jake going against the Golden Knights. I don't think they had a pro Wedgwood.
They fooled me the other night. I think it was Toronto when they put Wedgwood in.
Yeah, they did.
We did a show about it, me and Weldon, and we're like, I asked him, I was like, who do you think's in net? He's like, oh, probably Ottinger. Nope.
Yeah, Ottinger was in net. The Knights had 34 shots on goal. He had 26.
See, here's the thing. Remember that one little slip up can lead to a mistake. Well, a shootout loss is one on one. Somebody had to slip to get that game winning goal.
Is true.
So, again, who do you fault for that? Well, Jake did what he could, from what I remember anyway, and it just beat him. So, not Jake's fault at all. And maybe they just need to have a fire. I would love to see them have a fire lit up under their butts right now, honestly. Not that they're doing bad, but if you want the success that we had last year, where we were at the top dang near half the season or over half the season, you're gonna have to play with that fire.
Here's something I didn't realize in that Golden Knight, and let me tell you how freaky this is.
Uh-oh.
You think you would have ever seen a shootout between the Knights and the Stars, and both Ekholm and Robertson missed?
Well, see, there you go. One
Both of
freak
them.
slip up. There you go. They had to have flipped up somewhere to miss. Like, a bad angle. You know, they caught an edge. Whatever the case. Because those dudes are dead on accurate, usually.
And then Rope Hintz missed.
So it just goes to show you. Whatever way the puck bounces, you know.
Yeah, Matt Duchesne was the only one that scored for us on that shootout.
That's nuts.
So it was Robertson, Duchesne, and Hintz out there for the shootout for the Stars. Duchesne was the only one that got one for us. That's kind of, you know, a season ago, that was a rarity. A rarity. I mean, you might have Hintz miss one game. You might have Robertson miss one game. But you rarely ever saw both of them miss.
And that could have been anything. The ice condition, their condition, they might have been tired as all get out. You know.
Yeah, it's early in the season. They didn't, like I said, they probably, you know, these are players that didn't play a lot during the preseason.
Yeah. Preseason is key in every sport. Oh, preseason doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. How are you going to get your legs out from, or not out from under you? How are you going to get your legs under you if you don't play?
Definitely. Well, let's talk about some key things as we're fixing to have to wrap this up. What are your three keys that you think we're going to have to do going into this? Let's just talk about the first two games of this Canadian stretch we're going to go through against Calgary and Edmonton.
Run!
Run?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said run! Okay, so you've got the likes of... Oh. No, I'm not going to name all the Calgary players again.
No.
I say,
I'm just asking, what's your three keys? What do the Stars got to do?
For Calgary, I would go for shots from outside the slot. You got to go above the slot, man. You got to keep it outside by any means necessary. You got to close them in so that they have even less space to work with to force your play. Because that's the problem. You give the defense too much space, and they're going to push you out of your own zone. Not your own zone, but, you know, you're part of the ice.
Right.
Like, you're there in your position trying to set the thing up, and if you don't close them in, well, you're giving them too much room to move. So, you need to close them in. You need to add the pressure, and I would say that goes for, well, obviously all of them, but you know, you got Nurse and you got Nugent Hopkins, you got McDavid, a whole slew of people in Edmonton, and you're gonna have to do that for them too. You got to keep the puck out of their hands, and I guess that would be it right there. Keep the puck out of their hands, close them in. That'll be the second key. And don't leave your goalie hanging out to dry.
I would go with all of that, and I would also say work on controlling the puck during your power play.
Dude, that is paramount, because if you look even further, you got Columbus again and then Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Yeah, I mean, puck control.
It's a stretch.
Any way you shake it.
And then we still got Big Bad Boston looming.
Ugh. Yeah. See, now I'm a little scared of that stretch of games. Look at you. I mean, they have the team. Yeah, they have the team to ice to beat every last one of them. It's all about how they play against them. Hey, look, Motorhead said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the game and how you play it. Boom.
And I don't know. I just love looking at this when you're, you know, comparing player for player. I love seeing Wyatt Johnson up there now.
I think him,
Robertson, and Duchesne are going to be the keys over this stretch. I think Robertson's finally going to come out of his cocoon that he's been in. I just have this feeling that he's, you know, especially with what's been going on with Harley, you know, it really makes you as a team, you cannot just focus on that front line. You've got to now focus on the defenseman because, you know, and if it's Harley and Miro, both can shoot very well. Both can score very well. You know, Harley has been Mr. Johnny on the spot here lately. So I think Robertson comes out of his shell over this. I think Duchesne continues his, because like you said, Duchesne can hit a streak where he's, you know, two or three games with a goal or more. So
that might have been what undid his fate at freaking Nashville.
And this him scoring last night may be the spark that gets him going. And like I said, Wyatt Johnson, well, what more can I say about this kid? I mean, he's doing everything that you could ask from a young kid like that, and then some.
And to your point, and to his favor, that little Rookie of the Year participation trophy is just that. Oh, hey, it's a participation trophy. Look at you. You did this. Okay, if we're being brutally honest about it, you know, the Calder trophy, him not having it, might have been upsetting just a little bit. But that big old silver thing that's 100-plus years old,
oh, yeah,
having your name on that, oof.
That's the most important. And I'll be honest with you, if I was Johnston, I wouldn't be upset that he didn't get the Calder Cup. It's that he wasn't considered in the top three that I would take as offensive.
And I'd start lighting everybody up because I was upset.
If you look at the way he's been playing, he really has been. I mean, you know, honest and truly, even when he got lit up the other night and knocked down, he wasn't, I don't think he missed a play. He was back in there.
That's what they need to be playing with right there. Get knocked down, get back up, and go.
Let's go to watch the John Cena clip. You know, let's be John Cena back in the day with Kurt Angle. What makes you think you could be out here with me? Ruthless aggression. There you go. We need some ruthless aggression out there.
Oh my gosh. This is a hockey show turned wrestling show. I love it.
We go from hockey to football to kind of everything. We try to stay centered on hockey, but you gotta have analogies and you gotta have comparisons out there. That's how I kind of look at things in life.
Well, you're right though, because you know the ones that are remembered, the ones that are on posters on kids' walls, they're the ones that make the plays.
It's true.
They're the creative ones. I'm 38 years old. I still have a picture, probably the one that you saw when I was little, of Troy Aikman on my wall. I love it. I remember him for that very reason. He was the guy that said, okay, I'm going to put this team on my back, and I'm going to go. And because of that, you had Emmett, Irvin, and God knows who else make that team memorable.
Right.
Everybody has a spot on that team. Everybody has a role. Everybody needs to know your role. Excuse me, Mr. Johnson. And The Rock. And fulfill that role. Like, that's all this team needs because it's loaded. And I kind of like that Wyatt Johnston's forcing his way into the conversation now.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end this with some predictions. So here's my prediction. I think we win against both Calgary and Edmonton. I don't want to take anything away from those teams, but I think we kind of win in spectacular fashion, both of those. I just have this feeling. I'm going to say against Calgary, I think we win 6-3. And against Edmonton, I say we win 4-2. And that's my prediction.
Whoa, how about Vancouver?
Haven't even looked too much into Vancouver, but I think we win against Vancouver. I think we sweep this Canadian run that we're fixing to go on.
Well, then that brings to mind one word, the perfect word to close out this show, and that's momentum. Because momentum can change everything.
Yes, it sure can. Well, JJ, it's been a pleasure. We'll have to do this again next week.
Yes, sir. Can't wait. And BS3 Network, owners of BS3 Network, everybody that listens, thank y'all for your time. K-Fitz, thank you for your time. You know I love you.
Sir.
And we'll talk to you next time.
All right, go Stars.